Hello, Father. Thank you for this day and this fellowship and time together. Father, just may you anoint the words and the open the eyes of our heart, Lord, and that we could just hear what you want us to hear today, and that this week would just be a great week, Father, where we get out, and we're so thankful today, but with Thanksgiving coming up, God, and every day, Father, is Thanksgiving because of what you've done for us.
Yes, Lord.
We just thank you for your word and for all the things that you have in store for us, God. We're thanking you in advance for the things you're going to do for us and all
Lord,
the things you've done for us.
Yes.
In a mighty matchless name, of the name that's above every name, Jesus. Thank
Jesus.
You.
Jesus. Could only say one word, that would be the word I would choose. Okay, hey Mike.
Hey Rich, how are you?
Okay, I'm going to do for Brian and Lisa just a 5-minute recap. Is that all right with everybody else?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's really an interesting study here. The assignment I gave everybody last week was to just look at Genesis 14. That's where and we're going to get into that in more detail, but I got downloaded some more stuff this week that I wanted to share before we get, you know, back into that. But the recap is this: we talked about the Tower of Babel and how, you know, through their own efforts, they wanted to build this tower to get closer to God, and that's a lot of religion, is it's self-effort. God's got to do the work, you know. And if he does the work, then we rest in him. And that's our walk. We, if you haven't gotten that, today's the day to get it. The rest of your life, rest in him. Rest in him. He's done it all. All we have to do is rest and be obedient. And the first way to rest is to be obedient, to rest. But anyway, God's been dealing with me about some radical stuff. So, you know, if you hear something today and you don't like it, just throw it away. You know, don't keep it. If you don't receive it, that's fine. But I really feel that this is the kingdom age that we're getting into. It's going to be a lot different than what we've seen in all of our lives. And I'm going to start today by 1 John 4:17. It's a powerful, powerful scripture. It says, by living in God, and you can see living in is italicized, so by God, okay? And I like that. I like the italicized two words there, by living in God, okay? You know, we say Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, guess what? We have to live in him too. Okay? It says, by living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us. Okay? That's powerful, folks. I mean, seriously, that tells you the work's been done. If all of God is in us and we're living in him, then you're living the abundant life, and it can only get better. Love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Now, here's the key right here.
What interpretation is
it? The passion.
I know. I'm like looking at this. I'm like,
Bible.
I think I'm on the wrong verse. I'm like, am I like forgetting
that,
about my Bible?
That by living in God actually begins kind of in 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and we that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God.
Thank you.
And God in
okay.
him. And
yeah.
then it goes. And
I'm thinking
for I think for $8 or $9, you can get this. Now, the thing I hate about it is it's so tiny. I have to wear strong readers to be able to read it, but it's, you know, inexpensive, and I would strongly recommend getting one. It's not the only translation I go to, as far as you'll see, but it is really good. It's really good. By living in God, love has brought to it. Yeah, for now, just don't even look at your Bible, okay? Absorb this, because this is a truth that is so powerful. It is just so powerful. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. We're going to come back to that here in a second. But this is the key. Because all that Jesus now is, now, today, not back when he was walking on the earth, now, he's in glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. He is God.
Amen.
Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Mm. Chew on that just for a second. Yeah, we know that all Jesus is, so are we in heaven. That's easy. But you don't have to wait till you die to go to heaven. But it's what Jesus is now. We are in this world. So don't sell yourself short saying that, well, you know, when I die and go to heaven, then I'll be perfect and I'll be able to deal with whatever because I'll be, you know, with God and I'll be, you know, sitting on the throne with him. Well, you can sit on the throne with him right now. I love the word now. Because so many Christians push it off into the sweet by and by. Well, maybe someday, or, you know, when I die, or whatever. And man, you're selling yourself short. You are. And I'm telling you, religion and most preachers out there, and they're going to operate in what they know. And it's nothing wrong with it. But if they haven't grabbed a hold of this, then guess what? They're missing so much. And they're not really giving the full gospel out there. Okay? Because they're so afraid that they'll chase people off because they're saying, well, are you saying you're God? I'm saying he's God in me.
Amen. Within me.
Yeah. So guess what? Like John the Baptist says, I will decrease while he increases. So there will be a time where it's all him. There will be no more of your old identity. Because that's our walk every day, is to get rid of our old identity. Yes. To get rid of the old man that does nothing but drags us down.
I think that's why we want to serve, so that we can feel.
He's our conscience.
He's, you know, just so we want to serve and we want to do this together and say, okay, we're going to serve. We can feel that presence all the time. It's like whatever those little things that you're in his presence.
And the answer to that is, if God tells you to serve, serve.
Yeah.
If God tells you to do this, do that. But if a group of Christians say, hey, we're going to do this, you know, take it to the Lord. If he says, I mean, that's not what I'm asking you to do, then you can choose to do it. There's nothing wrong with those good works. It's just that they're not God ordained. He didn't tell you to do it. I mean, I've given that example many times. I won't go back into it. Where the church I was at when I first got, you know, awoken to the fact that I'm saved, did their thing. And it was like, if you didn't do that, there was something wrong with you. You didn't want to do what God wants all of us to do. Well, now I see the light, and I see Jesus only did what God told him, Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. That's us, just like it says right here. Because the way Jesus is now, so are we in this world. We still have to walk around in this world. But guess what? We can be in the heavenlies. We don't have to be bound to this earthly realm. We can be in the heavenlies and still walk around in this earthly realm. Okay, let's go back. The Christians go crazy on the word judgment. Don't they? And so I want to just once and for all. Okay, so it says, okay, we can fearlessly face the day of judgment. That sounds like, okay. You know, how do you face judgment when the judge already knows you're innocent and says you're innocent? You face it with joy. You face it with thanksgiving. How do you face judgment when your case has been dismissed? I think you'd be pretty elated walking out of that courtroom. I think you'd be probably dancing and jumping for joy and hugging everybody and showing a lot of love because a lot of love was shown to you, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the judgment we face. There's no fear. That's the whole thing. In many Christian circles, there's fear. Oh, my God. I mean, Lynn Hiles, it's so funny. I mean, he's hilarious. He came in, and I listened to some of his stuff, and he would say as a kid, he said the church he was in, man, I mean, they would call sin, sin. You know, they'd name it by name and whatever. And he said, I go to church on Sunday night. He said, Monday morning, I felt I wasn't saved again. And I would have to go back every week and get saved. Salvation isn't like that. We all know that.
That's what happened to me when we were going to the Nazarene church, and I'm thinking, I'm getting confused here now, and they're like, well, no, you can lose it because you kissed a boy or whatever. You just make it simple. You know, I mean, like, what? And now I'm really confused because every week that's exactly what I'd have to do. It's right there.
Yep.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm getting confused now. So that's funny that you say that.
With joy and thankfulness, we approach judgment. There is no other way to approach it. If you have doubts, God doesn't want you to have doubts about it. It's already settled. Read John 3:17. That if you're in Christ, you've already been judged. It's already been done.
John 4:18 says, completes at 17.
Read it.
There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment.
There you go.
So he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. Is not yet grown into love, complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go. Thanks for reading that. That was very good.
When you said I was getting confused. I was getting confused.
Babylon.
And confusion is Babylon.
It is Babylon. I learned that.
And we are. We have come out of Babylon. That is who all the sons of God are. I don't know if Jesus was, because he was, you know. But that's where we came from, and we all need to come out of that. So don't think that it was strange.
Oh, right.
We all.
Right. Yeah. I like how you guys, this is, I know it's taken me a while, but but when you keep saying Babylon, or we talk about Babel, mm-hmm. and I think about confusion, and I think about the Adam in ourselves, it's our Adam nature that we have to come out of in order to receive this fullness of Christ. And I love it. It's,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, wow.
Well, can I?
That's good.
It is even now, this is my opinion, and I'm not sure, I'm not positive. I feel that confusion and that Babylon is actually ordained of God, that we may overcome it, that we may all come, that we may under, you know, that's the processing that we go through, is to realize who we are.
Right.
That's our biggest job here, is to learn, is to forget, you know, our mistaken identity, and
right.
to realize who we are. And yes, you're right, it is Adam, but it's not, it's part of the process.
Right.
None of it takes God by God is not confused, and none of this takes God by surprise.
Well, the whole part of what you're saying, just to piggyback on that, of Genesis 14, is destroying, and we're going to get into that, destroying as a Christian, if you want to walk in the anointing of God, you have to start recognizing and allowing the Lord to come into your life and destroy these four kings. And we're going to get into the four kings in a second. But I'm going to make a statement here. We will know our mind is renewed when the impossible looks logical. That just hit me hard. I mean, we have things in stone. I don't care who you are. We all have things that, well, I don't know about that over here. You know, and what a lot of, you won't hear it from me, you won't hear it from Oscar or anybody else at the pulpit here, but what you're going to find is if it's anything different than what this church believes, it's a false doctrine. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just haven't had it revealed to you yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't poo-poo anything anymore. I don't, all these other Middle Eastern, hey, I don't agree with them, and I don't necessarily subscribe to what they're saying, but all religions have an element of truth that's based in it. They all understand there is a supreme being. There is a God. All of them. But there are a lot of things that we may think are impossible for us that God's going to change. He's going to rock your world, man. If you are truly asking, seeking, and knocking, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. And it may not sound like it's out there in the community of believers. It may not be, you don't want to cast your pearls before the swine. God will give you the right times to say what he wants you to say. But, you know, here's one example. Is there anybody here that would disagree that death is an enemy? Anybody? Is death an enemy, or is it a friend? Or is it just nothing? I think the Bible clearly says death is an enemy. I mean, eventually, death is thrown in the lake of fire, right? Right? Okay, so I don't think it's something that's eternal.
So is hell.
So is hell, yep. So is the false prophet. So is, the beast. I mean, all that's thrown in this lake of fire. That's another discussion, because it's a very interesting topic that would blow 90-some percent of the Christians' minds because they think it's bad. The lake of fire is not bad, folks. I'm here to tell you that right now. And we will get to that someday when the Lord wills it to be done. But right today, we're going to try to stay on topic here. Does the Bible say Jesus came to destroy death?
Yes.
I'm not hearing much out there. Is that, say no. Seriously, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you say no to something that I'm trying to bring out, because I don't care. That's
life.
Your belief when you're with God, huh?
Jesus is life.
Right.
Well, that's why we have to decrease so he can increase, so we can have that consuming fire in us now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what this church is trying to teach me.
When was our first death?
Adam.
Huh?
Adam.
Well, that was theirs, but no, think spiritual. When was our first death?
When we got saved.
When Jesus died,
we died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right or not? Mm-hmm. Again, please speak up if you don't agree. The Bible says that when he died, we died. His death was our death. His burial was our burial. His resurrection was our resurrection.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay. What'd I do? Okay. Second Timothy 1, verse 10. This is powerful, folks, I'm telling you. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation. Just because the book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Bible is chock full of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't just think the book of Revelation is the only place to go to see Christ revealed in us. The truth is now being unveiled, and I believe more so in the age that we're living in than any other age in the history that we've seen back 2,000 years. I think it's being revealed more now than ever before. The truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus. Okay? Got that? Mm-hmm. Now it says, our life giver. Without Jesus, we're doomed. Who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects on our lives. And we're not just talking about a physical death here, folks. I mean, we're talking about anything that tries to bring death upon us. Jesus took it. He obliterated. I love that word. When something's obliterated, there ain't much left over. You know, it's obliterated. It's gone. And has manifested his immortal life where? Where has he manifested his immortal life? The red. Can you read the red?
Yes.
Yes. Man, we are so blessed. I mean, my guys, how much more blessed could we be? I mean, he's given us all spiritual blessings. So he's obliterated death, and he's manifested, he's brought to life his immortal life in us. When?
Now.
Not when you die, right? Did it say when you die?
No.
No, it doesn't, and it won't. By the gospel. What's the gospel?
For the good news.
Yeah. That's good news.
That is good news.
I mean, come on. If you need any better news than that, your wood's wet. There's no fire there. Anyway, we know our mind is renewed when the impossible looks logical. Can anybody come up with something where at one time in their life they said, nah, that's not God, that's not Jesus, and now they say, yeah. Now that could be an event in your life, that could be a situation in your life, it could be a belief system that's changed. Thank God it's changed, because we're going from glory to glory to glory, and if you believe the same exact thing, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 6 years ago, as you believe now, and there's been no next level of glory, it's not God's fault, folks. It's our fault, you know? So if everything is nice, neat box, and it hasn't changed in 20 years, get out of the box and get God out of the box, more importantly. Anybody have any idea of something that occurred in their life that they thought, oh, this is impossible, and that's not God, or whatever, and now you go, and you know, he shouldn't have to show it to us in a physical thing, and we should just believe it and become the impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's eliminated from all? What can't you do through Christ? It says all. You either believe it or you don't believe it. It's that simple.
Well, I'll answer that question.
Okay, good.
I won't get into specifics, but I can. When I look at my life, there have been things that have occurred in my life that the outcome never would have seemed that it would be what it turned out to be.
There you go. That's it.
Right.
That's it. You sit there and you looked at a situation. You said, "This is crazy, impossible. There is no way this can be resolved."
And most of those occurred before I was saved.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I had the same situation where there's no way, even with a car accident that I had, and I was in a cloud. I'm like, where am I? What's going on here? I know I'm in this car, and I'm trying to put the brakes on this car. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm 18, lost, and I'm rolling in this car in the desert with this accident.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can only say that after I've saved him. Like, that was Christ.
Right.
That was definitely an angel. Because then when I finally hit and stopped the car, it was almost like this cloud was protecting me across this other side of this highway where there was a gazillion cars. So, and then I hit the side of the mountain and my car is totaled.
But you walked away.
And I walked away and I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, what the heck just happened?
Now you could tell that to some people and they might,
they're like, oh, yeah,
they might humor you and say, wow. But in their mind, they're limited.
I know.
And they're
saying,
nah. Now I think she's embellished this little story a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. But there's not a soul in around these tables that doesn't believe every word of it.
Oh, I had the same situation. A very similar situation where I was just north of Detroit and it was snowing and it was blowing across the road and it drifted up to get some on the far left lane by the guardrail, and I went to pass a guy and hit the snowdrift and went completely across five lanes of highway in front of traffic.
Oh, my God.
Over a hill, straight down a hill, and I mean a steep hill, and in the middle of the hill was a telephone pole laying sideways, and I knew that if I hit, the car was going to roll. And the car went like this, slid down, and it sank into a creek bed up to the windows.
See?
And it happened, it probably didn't take 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what happens.
And I just sat there and I'm like, I couldn't even breathe. I mean, it happened so quickly. But the impossible was, the truth is, I should have rolled down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, God had a plan for your life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
and
there
that
enough.
Was
the
way,
day right then.
I mean,
and there.
I was probably 20 years old when that happened.
I mean, He had a plan for your life. He knew where you were, where you're going to be right here and now. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows how you're glorifying the Lord in your life. It wasn't your time.
I look at that now and I go, whew, you know.
Now let's turn this around spiritually. Let's think about that for just a second, spiritually, okay? So, you know, what is something that you were told in the beginning and you went, I don't know about that. And now you're like saying, that's just standard operating procedure now in my life, you know, SOP. I mean, an easy one is the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. How many believers believe that the gifts have passed away and they're no longer in operation now? Many more that believe that it's gone than believe that it's still available today.
What are you talking about?
The gifts of the Spirit.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. You know, tongues, discernment, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom or whatever. I was told by some people when I first became a Christian, you know, stay away from those people that speak in tongues. That's of the devil. That's what I'm talking about here, okay? And that we're leading up these four kings, because when you hear about the four kings, you'll know exactly where we're going with this, because the four kings are speaking into your ear. And it all comes down to the enemy. You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days. What's that? The number 40 is that you've passed the test. Okay? Jesus was told to make bread out of rocks. Okay? That voice, that dark voice, was speaking to him. He was in a vulnerable position. But he had to go through that just like we have to go through that. The other one was, I think he took him to a high place and said, throw yourself down, the angels will catch you. And the other one, when he took him to another high place and said, I give you all this. So those are representation of the four kings that have to be overcome destroyed, obliterated, whatever, in our lives. And it's a lifelong pursuit. You're not just going to snap your fingers and those four kings are defeated. But Abraham had, I think, 318 men. And he destroyed all his enemies with 318 men. Now, don't you think he knew this? We know our mind is renewed when the impossible looks logical. In the natural, you look at that just like Jehoshaphat. You know, he sent the praisers. That's not logical. He sent the praisers out and the enemies were scattered. So we got to get our mind renewed. And when we get our mind renewed, it opens up the wonderful blessings and inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And we can't let our mind limit ourselves. What's that?
Can you just go up a little bit more so we can read the last statement?
Go up or down? This way?
Up, yeah.
This way?
Oh, I'm sorry, where it says Babylonian or whatever.
Babylonian kings?
Kings.
Yeah. Did Jesus defeat these kings and or enemies in the desert? Yes, he did. We must overcome and defeat these four Babylonian kings. And it begins with what we're talking about, repentance. Repentance not because you sinned. Repentance means change your mind, change your way of thinking. I like this expression, it's not mine. Go to the penthouse and get a new perspective. Where's the penthouse?
Oh, yeah.
The top of the building is where the penthouse is. And guess what? Your perspective in the penthouse is a lot different than your perspective on the doorstep. Right? That's where our perspective should be, in the penthouse. God is, you know, I think we're the mansion, but he's made a mansion for us, and we don't have to wait till the sweet by and by to enjoy it.
I like how you say, turn around your thinking.
Yeah, change your mind.
I remember that when I first got saved. It's repentance. It's turn the other way. You're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, but you're saying.
And there's no condemnation in what we're saying here. It's not like, oh man, you're really messing up. No, no. It just means you're going up higher. The higher you go, the more you got to change your way of thinking. Because now the impossible becomes possible. And until you get to that point where you're willing to accept the impossible, and you just keep saying, I can do all things. It doesn't say Christ can do all things. You have to make the decision that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's doing the work, but you got to make the decision that you can do all things with his help.
Right.
Okay. Religion says fix yourself. They say, well, stop sinning. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop. Listen, if it was that easy, you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I'll even throw Julie in. 9.
Perfect.
Who would be perfect? Who would be a manifested Son of God in perfection? God sees us as perfect because he knows we will be. And we are right now, it's just we don't see it. Kingdom says I can do all things through Christ, not trying to make myself perfect. Your perfection is through him, not through your futile efforts. All right, here's the kings. Okay. We're going to get through this quick because I've got 8 things that I believe if we concentrate on these 8 things, we'll walk in that Melchizedek priesthood anointing. Okay, Amraphel. Amraphel, king of Shinar. And I'm going to go through these quick. They're all about basically the same. When you see all these, you're going to see what the name Satan, what is one word definition of Satan? One word.
Evil.
Accuser.
Accuser.
Right. Accuser is one word. If you had to break it down to one word, it's accuser.
That's what Satan means?
Yes. So guess what? Anytime you're dealing with false accusations, or maybe even they're true, maybe they're true. Guess what? Get behind me. Get behind me. You don't entertain that garbage. Amraphael is a speaker of darkness, the communicator of deception. And Shinar means to repeat childhood. Remember when you were a baby Christian? It was awesome, but do you want to go back and visit it? You want to go back and become it?
No.
No, because you were enjoying, starting to enjoy the deeper things of the Lord and getting to know Him better because of the time you've spent to get to know Him. So He's a speaker of darkness. Where does that speaker live? Huh?
In our minds.
In our minds. So we need to kick his backside out. Get rid of him. When we hear something that's dark, it's got to go. We got to put up the gate. Keep him out. He's also the communicator of deception. What's a big deception that goes on out there? That you're a dirty, rotten sinner.
Yeah, you're cut. Condemned.
He'll never forgive you.
Uh huh.
He'll never. Yeah, there you go.
Well, or it's this: you're just a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace, but because of Jesus, whatever. Well, you know, maybe I can say I was, but I'm not now.
Amen.
I am not now. I'm a child of the Most High God, and I am not a dirty, rotten sinner. No. That's in my past, and we're going to leave it there. You know, now I'm a king of the king. I am a priest of the high priest, Jesus Christ. So that is when all that negativity and that deception and, well, the gifts of the Spirit, they're not for today, and all that, that's all that is the accuser saying, I don't want you to get any more truth. I don't want you to move on with the Lord. I don't want you to have relationship with Him or whatever. It's sad, but it's true.
What it says is you can't do it.
Yeah. Okay, Arioch, king of Ellasar.
First of all, Rich, I'm sorry. I'm a little... can you just go back? Where are we getting these kings?
Genesis
14, the first verse.
Genesis 14.
Okay, let me, yeah, I'm sorry.
Let me give you just
a two-minute thing. Okay.
Okay.
Do you remember when, we're talking about the Melchizedek priesthood.
Right.
Okay, before, when Melchizedek came to Abram, he was not Abraham yet. So when Melchizedek came to Abram, who is a blessed father or whatever is the name of Abram.
Was.
And then
High Father.
And then
Abram and High Father.
Yeah. And then Abraham.
Father of the multitude.
Right. So before he became Father of the multitude, look in the Bible. Every time someone had a name change, they had a nature change.
Right. Yeah. I remember.
Okay. So
Sarah.
Abram had to have a nature change.
Okay.
Okay, and with 318 men, he defeated all the armies. That'll change your nature.
Right.
That'll make you say, "Woo, thank you, Lord. Wow." I don't know how many of those 318 he lost, but I would say not many, if any. Because God was taking care of business. Mm-hmm. So in the first, that was the assignment, is to study in the 14th chapter of Genesis. It's about these four, the first verse is about these four kings.
Okay.
That he had to defeat. He defeated them before Melchizedek came. And it wasn't too long after Melchizedek came that his name was changed to Abraham.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Now I know kind of where I'm going.
These are the kings we have to defeat too.
Gotcha.
You know, we got to just lock up our gates, you know, our eye gate, our ear gate, whatever, to anything that's dark, anything that's filled with deception. You can sit there and list the things, but, you know, We went over this last week, and I want to just get kind of through it. But okay, Arioch of Elasar. Who does this sound like? A savage and merciless and raging lion seeking whom he may destroy. Who's that? Satan, the accuser. But guess what? Who's the biggest accuser on our list? Yeah.
Our own brain.
Yeah, right. The accuser of the brethren is the definition of Satan. But the good news is Elasar, God is chastener. He will correct us when we get out of line. But does he do it like smacking us down? Well, if you do this, God's going to smack you down. No, he does it lovingly to teach us and coach us on the way for us to go.
How do you pronounce that one?
Chador Lamer. King of Elam. Service and communicator of false positions. I mean, are you getting the theme here? I mean, there's a theme here, and it's we got to get all this garbage. When we entertain it, it's not good. We got to recognize it and get rid of it. Believing you are something that you're not. So many people have not been told that they are living their life with a mistaken identity. Mm-hmm. We talk about Babylon. Mm-hmm. Babylon is mixture. Well, I'm this dirty, rotten sinner, and I'm a Christian. You can't be both, folks. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Showing no mercy. Woo! We see that out there today. Now, well, this is really interesting, that Chador, the first half of that Chador Lamor, the first half, Chador, is servant of or worshiper of. So guess what? There's a lot of people that are the servant of the darkness, and they don't even know. It's not that they're bad people, but they've entertained this stuff so much. That's why some of the people get into drugs. That's why there's suicide. That's why there's all this stuff. Because they have been a servant of darkness. And so they have zero love for themselves. And doesn't the Bible say that you must love your neighbor as yourself? You got to love yourself. Doesn't mean that you're loving yourself to the point where, you know, you're all that and everybody else is nothing. No. You have to love who God made you.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Where did you get the definition of Chador Lamer?
Through a lot of different sources.
Yeah, I don't see it in Strong's, and that's the only place I know to look.
Yeah, this is through a lot of different sources. Okay. And I can maybe break it down next week and whatever. Uh-huh. The bottom line is there's a theme going on here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the main thing. And the latter half of that is the name of an Elamite deity. Okay? L-A-O-M-E-R, La-Omer.
Okay.
And then Elam means eternity. Okay. Title, King of Nations, or Gorm. It's the maker of an evil seed that lives in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It reproduces fruit after its own kind. Just like, how many times have we said, if you plant an apple seed, you're not going to get peaches. So if you're planting seeds from the knowledge of good and evil, that's the fruit you're going to get from that. You know, it reproduces fruit after its own kind, and it is also reproduces an evil generation. By evil, we're not talking about murders and all that. We're talking about anything that's opposed to God, anything that's not in the kingdom, so to speak. The purpose of spiritual warfare network in the earth is to bring us to a place where we recognize these four kings that must be destroyed in our life. And we kind of talked about this. Inside of us, there's that voice that comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? If it wasn't there, then there would be total perfection at this point, and that's where we're getting to. We're getting closer. The 30, 60, and 100 fold, guess what? We're heading into that 100 fold one way or the other. And we may be at 62, we may be at 72, we may be at 82. It doesn't matter. Measuring is not important, but we're heading in the right direction. We have to overcome him, put him under our feet, and it's our soul. And we got to get our soul saved. It's saved, but we got to get it in line with the Lord. The spirit is always saved. It's his spirit. But it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's a working out. Yeah.
Go back there.
This way?
Wait a minute. Yes.
This way?
Okay, inside of us, there is that voice that comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, the knowledge of good and evil was created by God along with the tree of life, right? In the creation of this world, where we were lowered into this, not because we wanted to be, okay? So, even that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have to say, was all part of God's plan.
Yes.
Because we can't,
yes.
What good would it have been? God could have always created us to be
robots.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. But totally innocent and robotic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was a plan even in all of this.
And what did he say about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
When you eat of it, you will be like...
Don't eat of it.
Don't eat of it.
And that's what he's saying today.
That's right.
He has not changed that. He says, look, I've given you the tree of life. Why in the heck would you go over here and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? But every one of us have. And now we've just got to get that revelation.
Yes.
Where... there's two trees. Let's quit eating
yes.
from this one, and let's eat from this one, because yes. that's life.
Right.
And this is
because
death.
Because this is where we realize, when we are faced, it's the being faced with the decision that makes us choose, then, of ourselves, to love God, to
yes.
follow God, to experience God, to be like God rather than to be, you know,
yes, yes.
There's a reason for it all. Because experientially, this is what God wants from his,
mm-hmm.
we'll say children, but from his sons, his full-grown sons, is to experientially and actively choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what, yeah.
And this is a revelation that we all have, but
mm-hmm.
it's neat to bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just a human having a spiritual experience.
Amen. Yes.
The truth is that we are spiritual beings having a human
yes.
experience.
Yes.
There's a big difference in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to expound on that? That's a big revelation there. Because a lot of people think, well, I'm just a human being. Well, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Sorry. I got good news
well,
for you.
Take the word human.
Yeah.
What is that? It's two words.
Yes.
And if you understand how what art is, you know, if you really understand colors and you look at art, there's hues of colors.
Right. That's good.
You take one color, you take red, and you can have multiple hues of red by adding something to it or taking, you know, or each thing that you add to that will change that color.
Mm-hmm.
So you hue it down, you change it. So when God didn't create us to be humans, he created us to be man. See? And what happened, if you look in Genesis, and I'm going to this very much, but if you go into Genesis, Adam was always called Adam up until Eve was taken out of him.
Yes.
And then when you see the word man back there, it's not always Adam after a while.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes Ish and Isha, you know.
Right.
Well, Ish, it means a champion. It means, it has good meanings. Adam has very negative meanings. It means a hypocrite, man of low degree, all kind of other things, see. Well, what you have to realize is that when God took Eve out of man, he became, and I don't know if you can understand, he became an incomplete being.
Yeah.
Okay? If you remember Jerry Maguire, that movie, Jerry Maguire, almost all y'all seen that movie, you know. What was the big line in that movie that he said to that woman? You do what? You complete me. You know, there's only one thing to complete you.
Yes.
Scripture tells us in the New Testament, and you are complete in him. That's the only thing that's ever going to bring you into being a complete being. Being in him. Not only him in you, but you being in him too, see? And that, like what you were saying earlier, that's the full circle of that. I was teaching that out there years ago one time, and I don't know how many people really got it when I was teaching it. That's the full circle of the thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's the mystery that's been hidden from past generations. But you in Christ is something you have to come to the understanding of that.
That's
in him we live and move and have our being. And once you understand that, then the circle is completed.
Yes.
And then you can begin to, and what Kathy was saying over there before, and I'm going to say more after this, but at, what you were saying over there before, Kathy, when you come to really understand the sovereignty of God, then there is no good and evil.
That's right.
It's just God. And good is nothing but adding something to how you spell God.
Mm-hmm.
It's adding a zero in there, another something else in there instead of God. And that, and you know, when they asked Jesus, they called him good master. He said, why do you call me good?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he say that? Because he said, there's none good but God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good shouldn't even come into our vocabulary.
That's right.
It should be God. We should be talking about God all the time instead of good. Once we start saying good
and
evil, and we're eaten of duality of nature.
Yes.
And it's also an opinion. That's your opinion. Right? Something that's good may be bad for someone else, but good.
Right.
And so what's
opinion
the definition
is not
of opinion?
Truth.
Yeah, something falling short of the truth.
Isn't that a great definition of opinion? Something falling
short of
the
truth.
Of the truth. So
it's not truth. It's
nobody,
just,
I don't want your opinion, Rich.
Nobody wants your opinion. No, they don't.
But we love to give it, don't we?
They had a judge class in there one time years ago.